Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another segment of Quick Take Ohio, a pre-recorded podcast highlighting Ohio news that impacts juvenile justice. Last month, two significant things happened. The Ohio Board of Education passed a rule to enforce a new policy created in February around the use of seclusion rooms and restraints in public schools. Also in April, Judge Tracy Hunter in Hamilton County announced an intent to eventually go to a no-shackling policy of youth appearing in any court under her jurisdiction, starting with her own courtroom. These events bring to the forefront the question of how we treat children and the problems around the use of restraints and seclusion. Shakira Diaz, Policy Director of the ACLU of Ohio, joins us to discuss these issues. Welcome, Shakira.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. So I mentioned seclusion, restraints, and shackling. What do we mean when we refer to each of these things?
Okay, well, we'll start with seclusion, which is basically the involuntary isolation of a person in a room, space, or enclosure. Restraint is the practice of utilizing an appliance, device, or physical technique to restrict someone's movements. And shackling is the use of handcuffs, belly chains, or leg irons to restrict someone's movements.
Thank you. So it's pretty shocking to think that there was no state regulation around the use of seclusion rooms and restraints in public schools until this year. What was happening in the schools that a policy was needed?
Well, there was a lot of attention paid to this issue nationally, but in Ohio in the summer of 2012, the Columbus Dispatch and State Impact Ohio launched this investigation to look into the practice, along with many years of work done by Disability Rights of Ohio, who filed many complaints on behalf of children in Ohio who were subjected to seclusion and restraints, which brought a lot of attention to the issue and prompted the Department of Education, Ohio's Department of Education, to reassemble a group to develop a policy and a rule.
Can you share some of the specific cases? Because I remember reading, I think when people were thinking about the use of seclusion and restraints, it was to prevent children from really harming themselves because this was a lot of special needs, but that they found that these things were being used to punish children and they had some horrible results.
Exactly. Stories emerged of children as young as 8 years old being secluded in a locked room alone for an entire school day, some in total darkness, denied lunch or access to the bathroom. There's one specific case of a young boy with special needs who was secluded 30 times in 2 months, and on one day he was secluded 8 times. Often, the seclusion room was used as a disciplinary mechanism, so children were being placed in seclusion for hours for something as minor as telling a teacher that they did not like the teacher or not wanting to complete an assignment. And again, many of the children who were impacted by this specific practice were children with disabilities.
And I know we don't really have the time to get into all the research, but the research has shown that isolating youth in particular has significant psychological and emotional impact due to their age and how they are socially organized. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Sure. A lot of studies have indicated that seclusion or isolation, children who have been secluded or isolated have displayed anxiety, rage, insomnia. Some have started the practice of cutting themselves. They have higher rates of suicidal thoughts and attempts. There was one child, I believe, in Virginia who hung himself in a seclusion room in a school. Other children have experienced post-traumatic stress disorder. In juvenile detention facilities specifically, some children have experienced stunted growth and have been denied contact with their family and education as well. So it's a very it's a very detrimental practice that really impacts the entire and the whole child.
Mm-hmm. So turning to the policy that the Ohio Board of Education passed, can you give us an overview of it and maybe a few of the most important things that people should know?
Okay. A few of the most important things the parents, children, advocates should know is, first and foremost, there is a policy now, and parents are going to be notified that a policy exists. In the past, parents were not aware or were not told that their child was placed in seclusion or restraint. So that's a great step forward. Parents will be notified. Schools are going to be required to report their practices of seclusion and restraint. There's going to be a training component added to that. And there's going to be a complaint mechanism in place if a parent feels that the practice was used in a manner that was inappropriate. OD is going to look to monitor the practice as well. One of the major things that the ACLU sees as lacking is the fact that this rule or policy does not explicitly apply to community or charter schools in the state of Ohio.
Okay. And I know, just reading a little bit about this, that with this policy in place, the goal is also to have a better idea of what's happening in schools, because from a state perspective, no one was really collecting this data. And also, I found it interesting that the schools are now required to have a doctor or a nurse examine a child after each incident of seclusion or restraint to ensure that there hasn't been an impact on their health.
Yes, and there's also some specific things that are prohibited. There's prone restraints are prohibited, and seclusion rooms cannot be locked. In the past, they have been locked. And again, those are some great strides that have been made.
So I know the ACLU has also focused on the negative impact and harm that can come about from routine shackling of kids. And then I mentioned earlier that one judge was taking heed of that research and banning its use. What are the problems related to shackling?
Well, with regard to shackling, and there has been some movement around the country in this area, often children are restrained or shackled in juvenile court. And it's very counter to the whole rehabilitative purpose of juvenile court. It inhibits due process. Oftentimes, if children are with restraint, they are unable to communicate with their attorney. It inhibits due process. And, you know, it does have a traumatic effect on children.
Yeah, I was trying to find out, like, how many youth are shackled. And as you indicated, I mean, this is routine shackling. A lot of it's done pre-adjudication, so that means for a first appearance, even in court. There was a three-month survey that was conducted in Ohio in 2007, and that survey showed that of the youth committed to the Ohio Department of Youth Services, 88% of the boys and 93% of the girls were shackled when they appeared in court.
Exactly.
Is there anything else?
You know,
go on. Sorry.
You bring up an important issue. You know, the information that we've gathered has been through surveys. But again, this is another situation where there are no rules, guidelines, or regulations on this practice. So we really do not have a clear idea of how many children throughout the state of Ohio have, you know, been subjected to restraints or shackles in juvenile courts, because they're not, courts are not required to report that information.
So thinking to the future, you mentioned with the current policy for schools, it doesn't apply to charter schools. What are the recommendations and the hopes of the ACLU for future changes in Ohio around restraints, use of seclusion, and shackling?
particularly as it relates to schools, we'd like for the Department of Education to explicitly require charter schools to comply to the rule that all the other public schools in Ohio have to comply with. Charter schools and community schools are a little different in Ohio than they are compared to traditional public schools, but there are some rules and regulations that they have to follow, and part of that it requires making sure the children are safe. We see this as a safety issue. We see this as a parental right issue. Every parent should know whether or not their child was secluded or restrained. So we'd like to see the Department of Education explicitly make sure the community school students are protected the same way the traditional public school students are protected. With regard to restraints and shackling of juveniles in court, we'd like to see an individualized assessment of children to determine if, in fact, you know, this is something that needs to happen. Is this a child coming to court who poses a significant risk or threat to those, to themselves or people in the courtroom? And that currently isn't being done. We also need to know, you know, how those decisions are made. We need to do a better job of tracking that. And it's important that Ohio courts, like every other court in the nation, keep in mind some of the things that the U.S. Supreme Court has continued to bring to light in more recent years. The children are different. And we have to take some different considerations when we're dealing with children. They're not just miniature adults. They are children. So we need to be mindful of that, and we'd like to see Ohio courtrooms see children as children and not as miniature adults, and to be more intentional about all of the actions that we take in our courts, to be mindful that our goal is to rehabilitate, not hurt children.
Terrific. And for listeners who want to stay abreast of these issues in Ohio or learn more, recommend that you go to ACLU's website, which is www.acluohio.org. Shakira, thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you.
And we will see everyone on the next episode of Quick Take Ohio. Goodbye.